Hey, this week we're talking about the supercar-killing Corvette ZR1. Also, the teased return of the Nissan Silvia. Why two popular aftermarket brands are going belly up. Plus, he's known to shred the gnar and whip a car. Monkey Lassick is in the studio today. But first, how Ford plans to narc on you for speeding. That's right. Welcome to the Big Three.
Boo narcs. Boo.
Welcome, everybody, back to the show. Big Four today. Big five, if you count Edgar.
Right, yeah. You do.
He's chilling there.
He a big boy.
He's 11 years old.
We got Joji Weber in the stew today.
What up, Wink Wink Nation?
We got Max Maddox.
Rev me up, daddy.
Justin Freeman.
Oh, man.
And the aforementioned Edgar, the dog.
You have to specify the dog because we have a guy here named Edgar.
We do.
Yeah, we call him Man Edgar, which, you know.
Yeah, he's asked us multiple times to stop.
Nolan, so, I hear you just got back from a bachelor weekend.
Yes, it was me and my buddy Cody's. We had like a co-bachelor party kind of situation out at Big Bear. We rented a cabin.
Nice.
We rented a boat on Saturday. Got to drive a boat for a little bit.
Pontoon?
Big pontoon party. Ooh, barge. Yeah. Situation.
Did you jump off the end?
You're not supposed to.
I know, but
but you were in Mexico, yeah. So it's all right.
Yeah, it was a good time. We actually got a fine on the lake.
Oh,
we got no license.
Going too fast?
I don't know if pontoon can go too fast. No, we got a fine for a party barging, which is when you pull up next to another boat and hang out.
Dude, that's the coolest. That's the coolest citation I've ever heard.
I know.
Of, though.
It was $100.
Sorry for party barging.
Yeah. It's a felony.
Party barging is not a crime. But apparently it is. And
were you blasting Party Barge Anthem?
We had a giant Makita worksite speaker
with
us.
Oh, those are great.
Dude, and I'm pretty sure that we were probably the loudest boat on the lake because I didn't hear anybody else playing music.
Yeah,
maybe because I was so loud.
You're just blinding everyone with LMFAO.
I'm blinding everybody with our pasty white body. Yeah.
If this barge is too loud, you're too old.
Yeah. No, it was a good time. It was cool. I've never really been on the lake or anything like that or driven a boat, so I understand it now.
That's cool.
The pontoon was not very fast.
Boy, we're gonna see some boat checks in later episodes.
Our boat, first of all, the person who rented us the boat was like, hey, like the fuel gauge doesn't work, but like it's full. Like we just filled it and we're like, okay, cool. And like we're, you know, putting out of the marina area and onto the lake, and we get like a quarter mile from the dock, and then the boat just dies.
Oh god.
And we're like, oh crap. And we're just like adrift in the middle of the lake. The boat won't start. And we thought it was out of gas, because of the fuel gauge situation. But then we, you know, luckily like all my friends are super mechanically inclined. And, you know, they looked at the back of the fuel tank, it was full of fuel. It just had to prime it. And for some reason, like the boat just kept breaking down like all day. Like you'd just be cruising along and then it would just shut off. So, but every time we'd just prime it up and it would go for like another 45 minutes or so. But
people, maintain your boats.
I mean, we were just thinking.
You know what they say about boats, right?
Don't buy one.
No, the best day of a boat is the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
I believe that. I believe that. But we were just thinking like if it was like any other party, like there's very likely that someone could just rent a boat and not know how anything works mechanically. Oh, yeah. Like they'd be screwed. You know?
Yeah. Do you ever watch those videos of people in Miami renting the boat and then going through that gnarly passage?
No.
Where they're so drunk and they've got all these people on the bow of the boat going through this like super gnarly choppy water. And there's a guy that just films that area nonstop because he gets clips out of it.
Yeah.
All these dudes on jet skis have to come rescue there.
Yep. It's like that bridge where everyone clips.
11'8"
11'8"
Oh, that's Durham, North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
I knew there was going to be a North Carolina connection.
I've been there.
Yeah.
There was a gas leak and a building blew up and that camera caught a lot of it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Damn.
What a cool thing to just live next to a place where accidents happen all the time. And then you turn that into your livelihood.
The last place I lived at a super busy intersection, like every month there'd be someone going over this blind hill and smashing into somebody else.
Oh, yep. Man.
Anyway, so that was fun.
We got a ton of car news since we didn't do any news last week because of the big announcement.
And thanks everybody who joined the AMA me and Nolan last week.
That was also the day I had to leave for my bachelor party. So that was a pretty full day, as you might imagine. I think it went pretty well. And James's video, I liked a lot.
It was a
fun trip down memory lane.
It made me cry.
Yeah, just so you guys know, like we didn't know what he was going to post.
Yeah,
we had no idea. So we all watched it with you.
Yeah, basically.
It was a pleasant surprise. It was really heartwarming.
man, people have been asking for Up to Speed on Donut for years, and
yeah,
it was always like a little too up our own asses to make something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that James and Jesse were able to make this is like, did it so much justice.
Pretty perfect.
It's the best way that that video could have ever been made.
100%.
I felt like it was just really, it was really sentimental, celebratory. And it was just like the,
so many clips. I always forget how much, how many pictures and how much video Jesse always takes. Yeah. So like, you know, he had
he picked the best pictures of us too. Yeah. We all look super hot.
Yeah. Also, it made me like miss his editing.
Yeah.
Jesse is such a good editor.
Mm-hmm.
It was like done perfectly.
It was really sick.
I watched the whole thing. It was like very long, but I was engaged the whole time. Yeah. Very classic Jesse.
I'm super stoked for those guys. Also has like 2 million views already in a couple days.
Yeah.
And
good video.
I really want to see, I want to see like the Up to Speed on Carhartt and, you know, every single one of those brands too. Like I'm stoked for every video that they make.
We also have some F1 news. I know this is not the podcast to bring it up on, but my boy Carlos Sainz got relegated to Williams last week, which is a huge bummer. That's kind of just like the graveyard for F1 drivers.
Gotta wonder like what they pitched him or showed him at their factory to get him to sign. Like, I'm worried, like you, Joe, but I'm also, I'm intrigued. I'm a little cautious. I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, dude, getting, he's a top five driver on the grid. And for him, he could literally go anywhere he wanted to, I think. So for him to choose Williams, I don't know. We'll see.
I wonder if it's the new regulations that they like are ahead of or
they
something.
They might be cooking. They might be up to something.
Yeah. Because they're kind of like a junior team for Mercedes, right?
A feeder. Yeah. They're like one of the Mercedes feeder teams. They run a Mercedes engine and they're related.
And from what I've heard, Mercedes is ahead of the curve on the new regulations. And
everyone always says that.
I know. But that's the only thing I can think of. But that's all we're talking about F1 today. I swear that one guy in the comments, we're not going to mention it again.
Until next week. Okay, so let's get into our first story here this week. It was reported that last week, Ford filed a patent application for technology that can detect when a driver is speeding and report them to the local authorities. Yeah, what do you guys think about that?
Any kind of narc tech, I'm not for. I want to go on the record and say I'm not for narc tech.
So here's how it works. It's even worse than it sounds, guys. So Ford vehicles would communicate with other vehicles nearby and monitor their speeds. And if one car detects that the other is speeding, it would activate onboard cameras to collect video evidence, which would then be sent to nearby police or to, quote, roadside monitoring units.
No way, dude.
What does that
whatever
mean?
That means.
My question is, are they making money off this? Like, what's the motivation?
Has to be the motivation. All these OEMs are looking for ways to get every last dollar out of cars that they sell. Yeah. I mean, we already know that companies like the doorbell company, Ring.
Yeah.
We already know that Ring,
owned
by Amazon now, they sell your data to law enforcement without your consent. And this is basically a very similar idea, I think, to increase that ever important revenue.
Yeah. They can't be making that much money.
I think they get a slice of the pie.
Law enforcement doesn't have any money.
Well, I don't know if they do. That's a fair point, but.
Well, they could have a government contract with
state governments.
Yeah, it could be also, you know, there's a little convenience fee in the ticket that goes to the, you know, goes to the technology.
The thing, we talked a few weeks ago about how some other companies got caught selling your, like, not your biometrics, but like your metrics.
Oh, yeah, your dating life.
Your auto metrics stuff.
Right?
The insurance and stuff. But dude, they were making 50 to 60 cents per car. It's not even that much.
Mm. And there's at least like 100 cars on the road.
Yeah. At least,
Every day.
But it's not like a huge, huge thing.
Do you guys tip the police officer when you get a ticket?
Yes. Yeah. Give him a 5-star. Yeah.
You know, it's hard out there to make a living. So I just think it's important.
22% big tipper. Yeah. You know?
I usually get out of my speeding tickets by saying, do you know who I am?
Also, what is a roadside monitoring unit?
It sounds like a mercenary. I would guess. Traps you.
I would guess it's probably like a same server, like the speed camera.
Yeah, red light camera or something like that. Because they don't just detect you running a red light. They detect the speed you go through. They take pictures of the front and rear.
Yeah.
Like,
so the car's going to let you go fast.
I just, look, there's, Ford, what are we doing? We can't be doing this. What are we doing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if they get a little slice of that ticket, like, is that, again, let's find a way to sell more cars. and make them better so people want to spend the money on them instead of resorting to this sort of stuff.
Instead of adding like a feet cam and then selling the pictures of your feet to WikiFeet.
There's an idea. There's an idea.
That was one feature of the Neo that I thought was pretty cool though.
It's just,
what if this is to combat self-driving autonomous cars, right? So in order to stay relevant to the government, who probably wants all this stuff, like, hey, what if we like snitch on everyone for you? You make more money, right?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Bye, Edgar.
Edgar's leaving the studio. He's so disgusted.
But he left about 4 pounds of hair behind.
He did. Oh, my God.
I brushed him yesterday, too, man.
It's a lot of hair.
Heat wave, you know? Don't snitch, brands. Okay.
That's not cool.
It does suck. It's like, okay, well, at least they're letting us speed in the first place. Cause you know, like their speed governors are always like a popular topic to bring up.
Speed governor was the job title that I wanted.
Yeah.
Before they said I had to be creative director.
Pretty good. But like there shouldn't be a choice, but that shouldn't be the choice. It should be like, hey, how about the choice is we don't buy cars that have this technology in them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know who wouldn't do this to us? The Brotherhood.
Oh, dude, they're making crime-mobiles.
Wow. They want to silence the Brotherhood, though, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
We'll never silence the Brotherhood.
Yeah. Who knew? Mopar's got our backs.
That's right. Okay. Proud sponsor. Not good. All right. So, pretty alarming to say the least. And we'll definitely be keeping an eye on this. Again, it's just a patent. Like, OEMs always file patents for crazy stuff that doesn't really make it.
Oh yeah, that's just like EA filing the patent for like advertisements while on screen while you're playing. It's like it's never gonna happen, hopefully.
Well, I don't know about that.
I played a lot of this archery game on my phone this weekend and there's a lot of advertisements.
right.
Last week, two major aftermarket companies, BBS and Recaro, filed for bankruptcy. Welcome back, Edgar. He's walking through the studio again. Both outfits are mainstays in the industry. I mean, these are two of the top brands.
Dude, yeah. Recaro seats, Grail seats.
Yeah.
BBS wheels, Grail wheels.
Absolutely. Yeah. The news is pretty surprising given how many OEM partnerships both these brands have with companies like BMW, VW, Mazda, and Ford. So
the snitch company.
What is going on here? BBS has stated that they never really recovered from the recession caused by the pandemic. This is actually the fifth time that BBS has filed for bankruptcy in 17 years.
Wow.
But it's actually not as bad as it sounds. A recent article by Hagerty interviewed BBS America president Craig Donnelly. He said that only the German plant that makes cast BBS products went into insolvency. So it's not the entire...
They're still making Forged company. There's wheels. Like, that's the one you want anyway.
There's like three or four. BBS is split into three or four separate entities, I think. And this
is like the lanyard division.
Okay.
The keychain division.
This plant is the one that's going into bankruptcy. And according to Donnelly, there's no financial link between this particular factory and division and like BBS Japan. And BBS Japan is the entity responsible for making like motorsports wheels and the forged wheels that everybody, the Grail that everybody wants.
Of course.
So he is pretty confident that this will not have any direct effect on those products.
Cool.
And BBS America makes a ton of wheels for like NASCAR, like the single lug wheels on the current cup car. They're made by BBS. So at least in BBS's case, not that big a deal.
Great. No, so they're still going to make expensive stuff that I can't afford.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
This is the second
Make them cheap.
This is the second time in a couple of years, though. I think like 2018, they also filed for bankruptcy, but that might have been a different division.
It was like last year. I remember
last year.
Yeah. BBS bankruptcy. That was a huge deal.
But that was their steering wheel division.
Was it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Their steering wheel division.
So at least that's pretty cool. Unfortunately, though, the situation at Recaro is a little bit hazier and the company seems to be keeping their cards pretty close to their chest. Auto Car actually reported that their employees found out about the bankruptcy the same day that we did.
Yikes.
So, yeah, yikes.
This is a big opportunity for Corbeau, dude. Yeah. Step up.
So, yeah, Recaro's, this was their sport racing seat division, but they also make airplane seats, bus seats.
Backpacks.
Gaming seats, all kinds of stuff.
Lanyards.
Child seats.
Keychains.
Yes, all those. So this one does kind of directly affect us.
BBS, I think, will be fine. Recaro, still not really sure what's going on with that. Just want to reiterate.
People are going to start putting airplane Recaro seats in their car.
Hell yeah.
So it's not all doom and gloom in the car world, though. We got some really cool news here. Chevy recently dropped their new supercar-killing Corvette ZR1 last week, 2 weeks ago, and it is awesome. A little bit of old news, but we have not talked about it yet. So let's get into this thing.
Yeah.
Here is the ZR1.
Damn.
Damn, son. So this thing, on the surface, clearly more aerodynamic elements. Yeah.
Big old wang.
Big old wang on it.
So fun fact, that's the wing they've been running on the racing.
Oh, okay, cool.
One already. So they just had it hiding in plain sight the whole time.
Electric orange interior.
Dude, that's the most sick. Boomer spec car I've ever seen.
What? No way.
Silver with orange stripes.
That's a classic Corvette look.
Orange interior. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just extremely boomer.
This guy also has a huge heat extractor on the in the front on the hood there. Keeping those temperatures low. You want good temperature management on the track. But the real headline here, the real reason we're talking about this thing, the new engine, 5.5 liter twin turbo V8 called the LT7. Mm. This thing makes 1,064 horsepower.
Nice. That's a lot.
Some people are a lot. People are going to be getting their inheritances early. Yeah. With this thing. No. What?
Do we trust
1,000 horsepower?
I don't trust any of the owners of these cars with that. Not one.
I think there's going to be like a Sunday drive mode button where you put it in. It limits you to like 300 and you can't go over 70 in the fast lane, you know, on your way to the diner with your car club. Because, dude, I mean, how else? Yeah, I'm thinking about the buyers for this car. It's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
It's Corvette owners already.
Yeah, Hendrick's going to buy number one.
And then Hennessy's going to make a 2,500 horsepower version of this.
This thing also has an anti-lag system, which is sick. Keeps that boost up while you're off throttle.
Anti-lag from the factory is very cool.
It's also a flat plane, right? With turbo. Yeah. Flat plane. Which is like something that hasn't been done very well.
But it's going to sound sick.
It does. Yeah. Actually, the way they introduced it, unlike the Brotherhood, is it literally just like blew by the crowd. Like they did a flying lap and then they came in and parked it. So it wasn't just like, oh, here it is. And it's just sitting around. It was like, we're driving this thing.
What was that? That's cool. Yeah. So estimated to start around $180,000. Again, another estimate. I'm sure the markups will be crazy.
Mm-hmm. For something like this, though, that's fair.
It's a screaming deal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can afford $180,000.
You can't even get a P car for that.
Even the price, like, gouging that's gonna happen for the it's fair.
Yeah. So I mean, I can't wait to see this thing in person.
If it's anything like the E-Ray, which we tested a while ago, it's gonna be awesome.
How much does that electric motor make on the E-Ray?
I want to say 150.
So they could probably juice that up to 200.
Is this bad little piggy all-wheel drive or is this rear-wheel drive?
This one's rear-wheel drive. Okay. So the Zora, if they make the Zora, I'm thinking they plop that electric
plop it in.
Yeah. All-wheel drive, over nearly 1,300 horsepower.
That's a sloppy piggy right there.
Mm. That's a sloppy piggy.
Oh, yeah. Playtime in the trough.
And it also dodges a lot of the controversy as well, because people were afraid that this would be a hybrid all-wheel drive, whatever. So it's like, oh, no, we'll give you that because we could do both.
What kind of boomer is buying this spec Corvette?
I think the one who just sold his Shelby Cobra on Bring a Trailer and is looking for that thrill again.
Does he live in the Village in Florida?
This is like big McMansion, Kansas City style boomer.
Okay.
I think you're on the money though, Justin. Like someone like your Hendrix or
kids ain't getting shit.
Jeff Gordon.
That kind of guy.
Jeff Gordon's going to get one of these.
Gordon doesn't get one. I mean, shit.
Jeff Gordon's Gen X.
I was going to say.
I'm not a boomer. I'm just saying like that's the kind of it's 1,000 horsepower.
You need to own a checkerboard garage if you are going to even think about buying
perfect.
This.
Yeah,
that's true. You need to have at least 3 neon signs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big leather lazy boy in the garage too. Like couch with a cup holders built in.
Yeah, to get away from the family.
Exactly.
Cigar butts that are like way too wet. man, you got to live for...
We smoked some cigars at the bachelor party and we were out on the balcony.
Debauchery, Nolan.
And we had like 8 of us on this balcony. I look up at the cloud and there's like this huge cigar smoke cloud like rising up over the house.
Nice. Are you thinking about buying a ZR1?
Yeah. I am. Yeah. It's basically the Cohiba of Corvettes, you know?
Big Doug's rule.
One thing about this car that I changed my mind on was the split window.
The
idea of the split window is great, but when I first saw the pictures, I did not like
I kind of don't like it.
But then I saw a video and love it, like moving and things like that, and I was like, all right, it's big.
It's very wide,
and I immediately thought about like a G35 with window louvers or a Challenger or Charger. Once it was in movement,
that's the thing. With a lot of car styling, like you can look at pictures and make a snap judgment and then see it in person, and it makes a lot more sense. There's just something about the current way that cars are designed that I think cameras don't like them.
No.
Yeah. It's very strange. Yeah.
It's Prelude, CAD.
The Prelude was like that. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then when I saw it in person, I was like, this is sick.
And that really shows like how important car photography is when it comes to things like this, because if it's not the right angle, it's not going to look good.
That's very true. Yeah. You got to know what you're doing.
Prius is the opposite for me. I thought that when it came out, everyone was like, oh, it looks so cool in pictures. And I saw it, I'm like, shit, dude.
Really?
Goofy. I hate bad fitment and like from weird angles, it's all blobby.
When they show them off is it's lower. The wheels are bigger. Like they do things like that to make it look better.
Well, because
they
use glue as mustard.
Why do you need mustard?
But it's because it's a Prius, so it's always dirty and all dented up and everything too. And I think that also
or in helps. Ugly colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see it like smoothed out a little bit, not as sharp edges everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd look really, really.
It kind of looks like a Hot Wheel, and I think if you were to like simplify it a little bit with some cleaner wheels and some nice fitment, I think it would look great.
Has Chevy ever done like facelifts and like second gen?
I don't think they ever have. Corvette doesn't really do mid-cycle refresh unless you're thinking like the split window. Literally the first time they did split window.
For the E-Ray, they did like a color match bumper, which I thought looked better.
Right. But as far as like, because like the Mustangs, like nothing changed. They just changed the headlights, you know?
Yeah.
Just to update the look.
Yeah, that's a good example. Mustang always has like mid-cycle generation refreshes. Yeah. Not always, but
hey, we like fix things.
Yeah. I mean, with the Fox body, they did that. The SN95. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They do that a lot on the Mustang. Corvette, not so much.
That's what I was waiting on, some kind of like update to it, but they really have like stuck to this design, and it's like, all right,
it probably wouldn't happen for a couple of years,
right?
It's still a relatively new, like, what, 2020 I think is when the C8 came
19?
Out.
We did the bumper to bumper
19. But then it didn't come out until I think when we were in quarantine.
It came out during quarantine because they sent us one, and we all took turns driving it really recklessly.
I got it last and it had an engine light on.
What, really?
I got it after Eddie.
That makes total sense.
And if a new crazy fast Corvette like the ZR1 wasn't enough for you this week, a Nissan executive recently told Top Gear that there was a chance that a little car called the Silvia could be making a comeback.
What?
No.
That's right.
So enthusiasts, maybe like yourself listening, have been dreaming and praying and maybe even begging a little bit for an S16. But Nissan's idea for the car might not quite be what we all had in mind.
Crossover SUV?
CUV.
Crossover?
Nissan insinuated it would be slotted between the already pricey Z and the outgoing six-figure GTR.
Oh, that's good.
Whoa, so they're going to put it over the Z?
That's
very interesting.
So it's going to be like a $100,000 car?
Yeah.
Weird.
Good move.
I mean, so that means it can't be a four-cylinder. It would have to be forced induction.
Probably.
Like, the whole point of the Silvia was it was affordable, so.
But this is all speculation at this point.
Yeah, very speculative. So don't take our
word for it. It's like the 90s like, all over again. You know, everyone's going to start making cool stuff, and then a recession hits, and then we're all screwed.
It's like how GAC is so expensive now.
Dude, I'm telling you.
GAC?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, speaking of prices going through the roof, I have a Brazilian fan of the big three in past gas who DMs me, and he keeps DMing me like these American cars that are selling for crazy amounts in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Miata for like $80,000.
Whoa.
And it was like modified. Like it was not modified very well.
Yeah.
It is expensive to have any non-Brazilian car in
Brazil. You went down there.
That's a huge part of it. It's just the tariffs are crazy. So that's why everything that they do in terms of like the car scene is all Brazilian made stuff. A lot of it is older. And, you know, the Chevy Chevette, which is their kind of like that's their AE86.
Yeah.
Because it was Brazilian made and there's so many of them. They don't really have other rear wheel drive cars that they can get affordably.
Yeah.
They put Volkswagen engines in them. Those things are sick, dude.
Good ingenuity on that. Okay.
Agreed.
That was our news for this week. But last week, last Monday, we had the awesome opportunity to sit down with a very cool guy. This was a really fun little interview here. So without further ado, here is our chat with Bucky Lasek. In the studio with us today, we have an esteemed X Games gold medalist, it's like legend of the vert, and also a accomplished rallycross driver, Subaru extraordinaire, Bucky Lasek.
Hey!
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Thank you for coming out here, man. This is really cool.
Nice little drive. I almost got rear-ended 3 times, sideswiped twice.
Oh my God.
And yeah.
Yeah.
people and my car's red. Like, how do you not see a red?
People make left turns in front of you just because they're trying to beat a light. Yeah. Great.
What did you drive today?
I drove the wife's WRX GT.
Oh, sick. That's fun.
The newest one.
Yeah, the newest one. It's sick.
And you guys know each other from Subaru meets, right?
Social media.
Actually. Yeah. I've tried to catch up with him at Subi Fest, but literally impossible. He's a very busy man. So I just
on that day.
Yeah.
Well, actually every day.
But yeah, when we go to Subaru events. Day. When you go to car, is there a difference when you go to Subaru specific events that are more people crowding you there over like regular car meets?
100% Like when I came out and saw you guys, I was like under the radar.
That's right.
Yeah, the Peterson event. He got to walk around and be sneaky.
Yep.
I kept getting stopped and I was like, ah.
Did that guy come up and ask you to sign his shoe?
Yes.
That guy was annoying. Sorry. I love all our fans, but geez, give us some breathing room, man. Yeah.
Man, I wish I'd get off with just a shoe.
So, Bucky, you are at a very interesting intersection, I think, of all of our interests. Yeah. You know, Joe, huge skater.
Yeah. I've been skating for like 27, 28 years.
I saw a skateboard out there. Is that yours? Or?
We got
a couple of them floating around. Yeah. Right. Justin, obviously a huge Subaru head. And then me, I didn't really skate growing up, but I was a big fan of the X Games. So and you know, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool to have you in here today. So
I was like, I don't want to be too corny with my, you know, like how hard is a 540 heel flip or whatever. I like skateboarding versus rally driving.
Yeah.
Like you see these clips of rally dudes in Finland, like on the edge, on tight little courses, like dirt courses, like almost hitting fans and stuff.
Yeah.
Versus like a rodeo flip.
My board will fly off and hit someone sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to go and like apologize.
Yeah.
Did that ever happen where you had to?
No, it happens a lot, actually. Yeah. I mean, granted, if you're by a ramp or something, you usually have your eyes on the prize kind of thing. Like, people aren't supposed to like look away and talk to their friends and be like, whack, you know? You know who's notorious for that is Bob Burnquist.
Just flings his board.
Dude,
off.
His board goes shooting. Like, even I'm like aware, like, whoa, Bob skating, like, gotta watch.
But so, like, rally driving versus skateboarding.
Yeah.
Your sketchiest moment in either one of them. What was like scarier, I guess?
Skateboarding is definitely gnarlier.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that it's harder on your body.
You don't have a metal cage around.
Yeah. I mean, I've had some moments in stage rally where it's like, okay, well, I come around this turn and it's really slippery. You know, it's wet, muddy, no grip.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm it's a pucker moment and I clipped the rear right, you know, and literally if I would have hit it any harder, it would have flung me, you know, the other way and into a crazy spin.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't that bad. Skateboarding is definitely way gnarlier, like blown out ACL and taking slams like at 51, like is not cool.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
What else? Scariest moment racing rallycross would be racing in the old, my first rallycross car was basically a stage rally car. It wasn't even a rally cross car. So it had probably about 100 horsepower less than the rest of the field. So like literally like my reaction time, I was first off the line, but by turn one, I was like mid pack.
Oh,
so with that being said, we also went through a lot of issues with like the motor and stuff back then. I remember running on 3 cylinders, jumping 50-foot gaps.
Whoa.
And just hoping it didn't quit. And then like sure enough, three turns later, it just dies.
Oh, wow.
So I'd say that was pretty sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could like either like not just case the landing jump, but like pull on nose into it.
Oh, it's gap jumps too. Yeah. This is when we were jumping gaps with, you know, the Joker lap would run underneath.
Oh, geez.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah, just, that was crazy.
Do they do that anymore? Or
Yes, they do it in Utah, which Nitrocross is coming up. I think the Utah race is coming up, and that is probably...
Oh, they got that the big jump tracks. In the middle of the track.
Dirt,
yeah.
Big dirt, bank dirt turns. Oof. Like sick track.
Yeah.
Like, if anyone out there wants to sponsor my Utah Nitro Cross race, hit me up.
Is that the EVs or is that all?
It's
all
EV now.
So what are your opinions on the EV rally cars?
I think as a driver, from what I hear, they're amazing. So much power, so fast.
Yeah, because those are short races, so you don't have to like think about charge or anything.
No, it's not that bad.
You actually have to not go too fast.
As a fan, I missed anti-lag. But the lights car this year, the lights car has gone back to, I believe it's a 2-liter turbo.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And that thing's going to rip.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I went and saw Nitro Rallycross in LA 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was super pumped to see these huge EV things. So I played them on like Forza
Horizon.
They're
cool though.
They're
cool
super
car.
Cool, but it was so underwhelming once they started going and all I could hear was dirt and tire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's kind of
like,
weird.
Oh, because then the Fiestas came out and I was like, yeah. You know?
They're kind of like, it's kind of like Rallycross and a Miata.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it's yeah, all, but it's you just, gotta pin them. There was just they more don't sound that great. They
but
the,
there was sound versus no sound, you know?
This year, they're gonna be, I think that's gonna be
that's
the
cool.
The all EV, right. though, it sounds like it opens up kind of new possibilities in terms of course design because the increased torque and acceleration from the drivetrain means you can have like a really short approach for a jump right after a hairpin or something like that.
True.
Like, you see clips of guys riding. Electric dirt bikes or even like e-bikes, like doing staircases and stuff with like a little ramp with no lead up at all.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining the same exact thing.
I never thought of EVs doing jumps, but the weight distribution probably is like
helps. Yeah.
50-50, right?
Yeah, it's like pretty good from what I hear. Yeah. I haven't driven one actually. It's kind of weird.
They're also like homologation spec. Like everyone's running the same thing.
Makes better racing. That's for sure.
And that's kind of like the plus side of EVs. But as an audience, you're just like, listening to nothing.
Yeah,
you just hear the gravel hit the wheel wells, and that's it. Like,
oh,
cool.
Kind of clunky sounding.
Yeah. So you have a bunch of projects going on right now. You have the Project Brat.
Why you got to bring that up? I was like,
the weight on the
like,
shoulders.
Oh, gotta bring that up.
Oh yeah.
Lots of projects going on right now. The Bucket is my 98 coupe Impreza. That's been my baby girl for a while.
And it's got the 2.5 in it.
2.5. It's got the green FP green turbo top mount. I like to keep the top mount just for the lack of lag.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's a strong car. Just put a radium surge tank in it. I-wired, did the harness for it. Just finally painted the trunk. It's the whole car still in primer, but the trunk is nice.
Yeah.
Door jams are still green.
Oh yeah, I remember that. From the update.
It's ready. It's ready to be painted. It's just
you're painting it white though, right?
I'm painting it pearl white, which is exactly the color that the primer is.
So,
yeah, like it's fine.
Yeah, it looks like
Then we have my daughter's car. I just did a transmission swap to that about 3 years ago, and she's on her third transmission. First one, I chalk it up to a lightweight flywheel and her learning how to drive stick. The second one, we got a donor. And it was just crap from the beginning. And then we just did the third one, which is mint. And the car drives amazing. Then my blue RS, I just replaced the rack in that. I was supposed to go do a reboot to it. Ended up putting an STI steering rack in it. It's nice. Wow. It's a little upgrade, you know. And then the Brat is good. My daughter has an 84 Brat that is all
I think so
jealous.
It's really
cool.
So jealous.
We did a 2-2 swap in that. 5-speed.
It's got the KC lights on it now.
KC lights. Yeah. We just found a roll bar up north, had that shipped down and repowder coated. And
for the inside of the car? Or
for the outside. For the outside.
Old school headache rack.
Real tall roll bar.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
It's cool. Really cool.
It's so funny how exaggerated the roll bar and like the bash bar are.
Yeah, it's so sick.
It's like, a tiny car and it's got this huge roll bar. Yeah.
So that car's dialed. I literally have to finish the KC light harness. That's about it. And then, my daughter's Falsy. It's kind of a project car in the waiting until she gets her license sorted. And then we have the XT.
Yeah.
Okay. The XT. That's why you're here today, right? Mm-hmm. To get parts from Justin?
I already did. Originally,
I delivered him myself.
Originally, I was like, hey, how about that podcast, Justin? You want to drive the XT over? Or maybe, I'll do a little swappy swap. But Justin came out with Edgar to the house and we did a little interior swap. Basically, I just took his whole interior.
Yep. So our build progression is going completely different directions. So obviously my car is a rusty shit box. It's purely a survivor, but it's like everything's been touched on it. That's why they call it a Franken wedge, because it's a Frankenstein of a bunch of cars. I don't need my interior. It's just going to waste. And he desperately needed interior because his car sat in a field with the window open for years.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got Justin's interior, which was nice. The cloth and everything was nice, but man, the guts were really tore up. So I opened up a can of worms and I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to shampoo the material. And then I'm going to kind of peel it back. Just a little peely
just
peel.
Real gently.
A little peely peel. And then just kind of dust, spray it black, just kind of cover it up. As I peeled back, I was like, then I just got into a whole like, okay, I've never done an interior refresh before like this. Pulled back all the material, knocked down all the rust, sprayed it with some Eastwood encapsulator, and just freaking went after it. And now it's 3 days later, it's mint condition.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's nice. So the interior of the XT is good. Carpets were good. And then I got into the bodywork. Bodywork, I've been 4 days now.
It's a hassle or not really?
Everything's straight. I laid some primer on it 7 p.m. last night. It got dark at 8. So I got to go back, block a little bit. And then respray it, and it should be good for Subifest is this weekend, Sunday.
Nice. Yeah.
So you're doing this all yourself. How long have you been, working on and modifying your own cars? Like, did the passion for cars start after you got some of those skate sponsorships, or predate?
My skating? First car was a 91 Civic Si.
Nice.
I had a couple of those.
Oh, yeah.
I had a couple of those. EF. And then, skateboarding kind of took a sniper.
Like you can swear.
Like I say it. All right. Well, it took a little duty butt, and and then I went and my buddy owned a body shop. And I was in the cars. I did at that time. My cars had like suspension, some exhaust mods and stuff. And back then, I even painted black trim, like color matched it back then, which was kind of not many people did it back then. So I went and got a job at this body shop that my buddy worked at. And so I learned how to break down cars, put them back together, do all the body work, spray them, do everything.
Wow.
I did that for like 2 years, and then skateboarding picked back up.
So you were learning a trade as just the sport overall was kind of taking a dip, or?
Just vert skateboarding took a big dive. And street skating, that's when street skating got really popular back then.
And you just were like, I'm going to get a normal ass job working at a body shop. That's awesome.
Well, it wasn't like I just went to like a body shop and was like, hey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, good job.
But it was my friend's body shop had interest. What I mean?
That's really cool, though.
I think at the time I was probably wanting to paint something or and work on a car. I did a Volkswagen Corrado.
Ooh.
Back in the day, I had a 91 Corrado. I did a VR6 swap too.
Nice. Was it purple?
It was white.
Oh, okay.
And then we did the body. I did the body kit to it. My other buddy wrecked his CBR bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, man, sorry for your misfortune, but what are you doing with that gas cap? He was like, no, you can have it. So I cut the gas cap out and welded it onto the Corrado.
Oh, very cool.
this was all like, and then I moved to California with that. And then I ended up like moving the license plate, and usually in the Corrado, the license plate's in between the taillights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, man, I want to French style it. So I went to the Oceanside junkyard, cut up a, I think it was like an 87 Camaro rear bumper, cut off the license plate, and then cut up my freaking nice car in my condo. I lived in a condo, and I taped up all the walls with plastic and in the garage. And I cut my bumper.
Oof.
Plastic welded this Camaro freaking license plate. And, you know, this recessed license plate in. And then plastic welded, did all the sanding, and then took it to a local body shop and had them spray it and did the French.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it looks super sick. It's still like, I got rid of the car, obviously, but it's still floating around. Still a really nice car. Man,
I was looking at Corrados last year and I found this purple one.
Yeah.
I was so excited. And I don't know, man.
Man, they are a can of worms.
Yeah, that's why I didn't get it. I was like, I don't know anything about this car. I'm just going to, it's going to sit in my
driveway.
The people
that know a lot about them also have trouble.
Yeah.
No, they do. Yeah. It's a freaking headache.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, they're not a mechanic friendly car.
Mm. See? And he owns an XT and he says that about Volkswagen.
Volkswagen is an easy car. I mean, Subaru is an easy car to work on.
Yeah.
So do you have any like skater friends that are super into cars like you that you roll
around
with?
I mean, they're not all out there doing body work like me and doing all that, but yeah, Coco Zarita, he's into it.
Oh yeah.
Big Todd time. Richards, big Audi guy.
Who's the best driver of your skater friends?
Probably Coco. Todd's not bad, but he just doesn't go enough. Mm, you know? Yeah. Coco can wheel. Danny Way can wheel.
Oh, Danny Way.
That makes sense.
Danny Way can wheel.
So is that just like an inherent skill when it comes to skating? Like, are they just awesome drivers as well just because of just the act of the sport in general? Like, Zach Job is a great driver, but he also skates and he's
like
good at everything.
Innate understanding of physics.
I think it's just awareness. You know, I think skateboarding has, it makes you, your perception, your athleticism.
I heard in Japan they literally teach it in middle school, like skateboarding as a class.
Oh, really?
Because it just develops.
I mean, the Japanese skaters that are coming out,
killing it right
now. It's insane. Next level. Also the precision too. Like, if you're ollieing a gap and you have to like land and be precise about it, you're also gonna like hit the corners and hit the apexes.
You're aware
precise.
Of everything. You're aware of that sidewall crack. You're aware of the distance. How to get out of it, you know, how to fall. I mean, the first thing you learn to do in skateboarding is fall.
Mm-hmm.
You get good at falling, you can pretty much do anything.
Maybe like the mental composure and persistence of just trying and over again to nail a corner or like nail a drift or slide or whatever.
Perfect it.
Yeah, instead of being discouraged after trying and failing three times, you know. And then,
for sure.
So, okay, you're at the body shop and then, you know, was it kind of the extreme sports boom of the
X Games?
Late X Games.
X Games. Yeah. It was when X Games first came around. I actually missed the first one because I had no sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, I blew out my ACL.
Oof. Oh, man.
So I missed the second one and I watched it all on TV and it was the most depressing thing ever.
Mm-hmm. You finally are competing in the X Games. You have your sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a car that you bought with some sponsorship money later that you had always wanted? Like, what was like the first car you got with skate money, I guess?
Oh, it was my 30th birthday, right? This is a cool story. So 30th birthday, I'm like, okay, I want a BMW M3.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. So put in the order, went and ordered white, red leather.
Mm-hmm.
This is E46?
Yes. I've had an E36 prior to that, four door used. Pretty sick, but like this was like my first car, like brand new, gonna treat myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ordered it. It came in on my 30th birthday. And at the time, I was in Vegas, I think it was Vegas, doing a Tony Hawk Pro Skater game demo at the Video Game Awards.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
Where DMX was playing.
Oh, man.
So here I am freaking hanging out with DMX after hours. chilling, skating. Like, he's skating. I'm doing doubles with him.
DMX skates?
Yeah. I mean, he was not very good.
But, oh, okay.
I mean, he had his Tims on. He had his cargos. Actually, I was skating and my ass crack was hanging out. And he made a joke about my ass crack hanging out because my ass crack was actually hanging out. And his pants were down to his hips, but he had the dun-ta-dunts on. Right. So, a little different. So, yeah, hanging out with DMX. And then I get the call that my car arrived. So, it was and then that night for my 30th birthday, I'm hanging out with Pamela Anderson, David Spade. We're all in a VIP section because everyone's there because of Video Game Awards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the most popular thing ever. And we're doing toast with Dom Perignon for my birthday, and they're all singing me happy birthday. It was best birthday ever.
That's amazing.
That's a story.
Yeah, that was a cool one.
Well, what about the car?
and then I got home and got the car.
Okay, cool. How was it? How long did you have it?
I mean, I had it for a long time. I did a supercharger on it, but the bad thing was the selling point for me was I wanted to get the SMG because it was new and it was like paddles. It was like the cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife could drive it. Mm-hmm. Well, my wife drove it for like 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I started modding it, she was like, I ain't touching it. I had like Kinesis on it. Like, it was sick. And then I supercharged it and basically blew up the motor and put a stock motor back in it and sold it.
Zach Job, he swears by those SMGs, actually. He's like, if you can learn to drive with those things, they're really good. But
it's gross. It just shifts like gross. It's like now the PDKs are so much better.
Yeah.
I wish Subaru would make like a PDK version.
Yeah, all right, so
that would be so sick.
You're tied into Subaru. Like, what is with the CVT? Like, why do they stick to it?
It's a weird market right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's also like, why don't we have an STI? Why don't we have a coupe?
Yeah.
You know, besides the BRZ.
I do feel like the target audience for an STI, like the people that could buy those right now, like, totally would, like, they could afford it. Like,
absolutely.
I'm imagining like you have either tech or like younger tech and younger, we'll say, finance or whatever guys. Like, those, I feel like those are the guys that buy those higher end Subarus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you built or sold a Subaru, an STI, let's say it goes for even over 40,000, like 45,
yeah,
I feel like they could sell those.
No, they have been. Yeah. It's just Europe is lagging. They don't sell that great in Europe. I think it's in other markets. You know, I don't think it's here. It's also like, why don't we have the Levorg, the station wagon?
I know.
Like, oh yeah.
Subarus just big on the family. So I mean, the Subaru Outback Wilderness is pretty dope.
It's awesome, but then it has a CVT. You know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you can't do all that off-roading you want to do without overheating the Subaru.
I have to imagine, though, it's for fuel efficiency compliance because boxers aren't very fuel efficient,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that is the main thing, because they even got rid of the flat six because I think the Onyx Outback for a while had the flat six and everyone loved it, even like the older retired people that drove it.
Mm-hmm.
But then this fuel efficiency stuff just starts getting in the way and they're just like, we can't run this anymore. So they just switched to the turbo and it's like immediately everyone's like, I don't like the lag. I drive up mountains. I need the low end power. And because they're leasing, they have to update to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And they're hard to, once you get rid of it, it's hard to get another one. So
pardon if, this is a really obvious question, but have you ever, got to drive any of the like Subaru Team America rally cars or?
I haven't driven the rally car. I haven't driven the open class one. And I haven't driven the Huckster and I haven't driven the Air Slayer, but I've been close to getting Travis to trade me at these events.
Oh.
Like, hey, you want to take Betty for a rip?
Yeah. I'll go to Goodwood and
yeah. But yeah, it's on the bucket list for sure to get in one of those cars. The open class cars look like they're really fast on the stages.
Can you speak on kind of the addition of Rallycross to the X Games and then your involvement in it, how you got into that?
Yeah, I finally was able to kind of get into the Rallycross because I watched Ken Block. I watched him from DC Shoes, rest his soul.
Mm.
I watched him go from like designing shoes or clothing. I used to ride for Drawers and all that back in the day.
Oh, Drawers.
So I've known Ken for years, decades. I watched him literally get the bug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like he went, he was super good on motocross. And then I watched him get the rally bug. I watched him go to Tim O'Neill's. I watched him go to all these events. And then I watched him hone his craft and do all the Gymkhana videos and basically make a skate video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a car.
Yeah. It was really smart.
The Gymkhanas. And I watched all that happen. And we were in talks the whole time. And I was keeping up on him and with him. And then I also watched Travis do the same thing.
Yeah.
Where Travis, how Travis got into it was Kerry Hart got injured on tour. And originally, Kerry was supposed to go to Tim O'Neill's to do a kind of a rally school as part of the, you know, fee. He got paid, plus he was going to go do a rally school. Well, Kerry got hurt, and he was like, hey, Travis, you want to go do this rally school? Travis went and did it and got bit by the bug.
Yeah.
Right? And then Dave Mira, I watched Dave Mira get bit by the bug. Oh, because
man. Another
Dave,
rest in peace, man.
Mm-hmm. All this happening right in front of me.
Dave's from my hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Greenville, North Carolina.
Rest his soul as well. Yeah. He got the bug. He was kind of on the end of his bike, you know, his career. And he naturally was gifted with speed and grace and adrenaline. And he got bit by the bug. And finally... I was always, you know, I had bug bites all over me at this point. I was riddled, like naked and afraid. Like
I love that show.
And then finally I got my chance where I was like, okay, I'm still skating. I'm not like retiring. So I ended up winning like all these events in skateboarding. And then like I'm in X Games for Rallycross and I got silver.
Wow.
That's sick.
And finally got in there And it was you got to watch the episode of Launch Control. My car was, I got slammed into, I think by maybe Liam or someone took my door out. My door wouldn't close. I'm at the starting line. They won't let you start if your door won't close. So I'm like taking off, I think part of my window net and I'm strapping it to the door handle while I'm buckled up and I'm like strapping it, tying it to the roll bar so it would not open. And then I didn't have a clutch.
Mm. Oh God!
So I had at one point I had to pump my clutch to the point where I could get to the line.
Oh, geez.
And then I had nothing.
Yeah.
So then it was like put the car in gear, turn the car
rev
off,
match.
And just rev it and just clunked it to the line.
Jeez!
And then I actually got the green light, did the same thing, just turned the car on and just gassed it, and just you could see me on the line go and I went, got it going. And then from there, I was just like, wow. It was on.
And that was, you got
and
silver?
I got second.
Wow. Jesus. Man.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man. Well, we're running out of time, Bucky. It's been so fun to have you on here. I have one last really dumb question for you. You're known for your rodeo flips on vert. Yeah. Have you ever owned an Isuzu rodeo?
No. No, because they flip too easy.
Yeah, no. They do. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Well,
that's funny.
Wow.
Maybe that's why they're called a rodeo.
Yeah.
Isuzu rodeo. There you go. Heard it here first.
Bucky, thank you so much for coming in. This was really, really awesome.
Dude, so fun.
Please stick around. We got plenty of snacks over there in the kitchen if you'd want some. Okay.
No, he's got a car to go work on.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I got a lot of work to do. See you at Subi Fest.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I'll be there this weekend.
Do you want to plug your channel?
Bucky? Oh, yeah, yes, Buck, yeah. I haven't uploaded in a month, but it's coming.
Fuck yeah. Go check it out on YouTube. Go subscribe. Let's go pump those numbers up. Big three.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right. So that's our show this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Follow us at Joji Weber, Max Maddox, Justin Freeman, Nolan J. Sykes. And
does Edgar have an Instagram?
No.
Really? You make one. You make Instagram accounts for your cars.
I have a highlighted stories,
dude. You know what you should do. You have your
people watch the hell out of them.
Wow. You have okay.
Yeah,
you have your Tundra Instagram account.
Tundera.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be from Edgar's perspective. Like Edgar's making the post.
Oh,
my daddy put a new bumper on his truck today.
No, like Ed, maybe Edgar's the one I don't know.
Just weird ass photos from down there. Yeah. Jumping in
with like a paw.
Oh, we gotta make a little fake paw.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. Okay, so anyway, thank you to our crew. We got Gavin Kinzel, Audrey Holden, Mark Schroeder, and Nick Giamuso back there. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.